Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, June 15th, 2022. Today on The Ether, Pylon's Hangout. Let's take a listen.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, I'm doing well. Just trying it out. Having the maiden space voyage. This is a space voyage.
It's a space voyage?
Ooh, yeah, because it's, you know, this is a Twitter space, right?
Yeah.
I'm on a voyage of discovery. Seems right.
It does. Now, what are we searching for on this voyage of discovery?
I guess, you know, I want to, like, get a sense of, like, what people are interested in. I think the answer is, like, I've been very quiet, really. Like, I haven't spent a lot of time talking about, like, at least in public, you know, what is Pylon's about? What are we trying to do? You know, what's the roadmap and why? And how are we different and why does that matter? And I guess I just sort of want to start doing that more. So this is sort of like my first stab at, like, you know, doing that more.
Sounds good. Well, so... Here, I got a question for you. What is it to you, right? So what's Pylon's to you, and, you know, introduce it in a couple minutes, right?
Yeah. So Pylon's is my sort of like the manifestation of my opinion that blockchain should be a mass market thing. And what that means is that, like, regular people can interact with it.
I have a terrible piece of news. You are having really, really severe robot style feedback.
Okay.
It may have just disappeared.
Yeah. That makes sense. Cause I have my like iPad logged in why is this?
Oh, two microphones. Really? That would explain it.
Yeah. My iPad is,
sorry about that. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's good. And I can't get my iPad to not talk. I'll just like move further away. So yeah, I believe blockchain should be a mass market product. And that means that regular people can just use it, right? They can show up, they can do the things that they want to do, and it works. So that's, you know, that's sort of where this is all coming from. And then, you know, everything else is sort of like flows from that, which is like, what needs to happen, right? How does that need to be? And the answer is like, well, the world is full of mobile apps, and we know what mobile apps do, and we know what their user experience is like in order for them to work. And so we need to build an app that feels like a non-blockchain mobile app, but is actually a blockchain mobile app and isn't any harder to use than sort of your average non-blockchain mobile app. And that has been sort of the, you know, the driving principle of designing what Pylon's is. And then I have to do something, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess the next question I guess one might imagine being asked is, okay, well, like, use it to do what? And the answer right now is basically like, use it to create and purchase NFT art, because that's what people are doing right now. You know, we're really interested in blockchain gaming, in blockchain ticketing, in, you know, all sorts of like applications that can be enhanced by having like persistent, reliable digital property. But right now, like, what people understand is art. So that's what we're doing.
Well, yeah, that's fair, right? That's a good bridge into it. And what makes pylons different? Because, like, you know, certainly there's OpenSea with a pretty well-established marketplace. And really, a number of other marketplaces also kind of add, you know, the audience that, I mean, my particular interest in pylons is, in fact, the differentiators.
Yeah. So OpenSea is, you know, it's like basically it lets you discover transactions you want to do, and then it helps you form transactions, right? But really, it's like a tool to help your ETH wallet do stuff. So you have to have an ETH wallet. You have to have bought ETH on an exchange. You have to, at least on some level, know what you're doing. And then you connect your ETH wallet to OpenSea, and then you can, it can, like, propose contracts to this browser extension you have. And then you can, like, click buttons in the pop-up window, and then your browser extension signs a transaction and sends it back to the chain. And you have to understand all this stuff, and it is all presented to you up front as something you should know about and care about. And, you know, I think that's bad. I think that, like, people should not have to know about or care about that kind of behavior. And so, like, the whole way that ETH systems work, which is that, like, people have like a real intimate understanding of how their wallets work and what they're doing, I think it's bad. And I think this, like, you know, all of the stuff people are saying about how you need to protect yourself, like, all that you have to understand what you're doing, don't sign stuff that you don't know, like, oh, I could get, like, fished this way, you know, I could get wrecked in, like, I could get wrecked by flash bots if I make the wrong trade this way, like, all of the stuff that they tell you you should know, I think it's really bad to have to know that stuff. And that, you know, is build something that, like, doesn't stab you if you don't know exactly everything.
And okay, so, you know, maybe the next piece, right? So how do we eliminate that stabbing? Because, I mean, obviously, I assume that many of our listeners have been stabbed. Hell, recently, you know, because of Terra, it was really easy to get stabbed on that. You did not even need to own Luna. You did not even need to own UST. You know, you could get stabbed on that one merely by being in one of Cosmos's many decentralized exchanges. And the decentralized exchanges aren't really at fault. They didn't break, but they work in a certain way where asset prices are connected to one another and it caused a crazy cascade. So, you know, I guess maybe, you know, my next question is, like, how do you want to reduce that level of risk and appeal more to the general market?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a bunch of answers to that. One is that, like, basically everything that exists short of, like, Stargaze and OmniFlix is in the Cosmos is a professional investor's product. You know, these DEXs are, like, not there for regular people. They're not there. Like, they're not an index fund, right? It's not like buying Vanguard, where, like, there's professionals who are out there looking after you. It's very much like you have to like defend yourself against the sharks if you're in the DEX pools.
this is so true. I spent a lot of time reflecting on that after the Terra crash. Just that, like, if I was not. Is that, to anybody who doesn't know, I write software in the Cosmos ecosystem, and I've been using this stuff pretty much the whole time. I think I know much more than most people about how to use it. And guys, make it extremely clear. I got wrecked. My project got wrecked, you know? And but how is it that you know, people won't need all that high context knowledge to avoid that?
Yeah. So there's two answers. One is limit provide a much simpler set of primitives that people can use to create experiences on chain. So you can't create sort of arbitrary things like liquidity pools that can have these like very complicated effects. So the state machine on pylons is very simple, and you know, it's much easier to sort of know what you're getting into. And it allows our app, which, you know, functions as our wallet, to do a much clearer job of explaining to you what you're about to do when you do something, because we only have, you know, we have a simplified set of things that you can do. And so it can tell you what they are, what's happening. The other piece of it is to focus on use cases that are not for investors, right? And this is like a big sort of political thing that I believe really strongly, which is like, if you have a space where everyone is trying to walk out of the space with more money than they walked in with, then your whole space is a Ponzi scheme, right? It's all just PVP. And, you know, there's never going to be like that. That's not an industry. That's like, you know, that's a Ponzi scheme. In order for this, you know, crypto industry to be an industry, we have to get to a point where people are coming in to spend money to get stuff, and they're walking out with less money than they walked in with, and that's what they wanted, right? You don't walk into a store and buy a shirt thinking, I'm going to flip this shirt for 3x, right? That isn't how it works. That isn't how the economy works. You like buy the shirt, and then you wear the shirt, and then you give the shirt away. So like that's how the economy works. And we have to get there. That's like, that's just like absolutely necessary. We have to get there. And so Pylons is really an attempt to get a toehold in that market, where it really is about people buying stuff and just having it. And so, you know, swiping a credit card to buy a $5 piece of art that your mom made, right? You're never going to flip that, and you don't want to flip that. You're just sort of acknowledging that your mom took a photo of someone, of your niece or something, right? Like, that's the market I want to get to. And I want to get there because I want to, at whatever level is possible, create like real revenue that doesn't come from a professional trader trying to make a buck, but that comes from a consumer.
Ah, so you're thinking more about a product place. So something that actually sells, I mean, you know, they're digital widgets, but it's a very effective analogy, man. And guys, you know, I'll give a little context on Michael's critique here. In most cryptocurrencies, and keep in mind, like, you know, Bitcoin was made to replace the dollar, or made to replace money, maybe, or replace gold, maybe, or it's a crazy, interesting cryptography toy. I don't know which it is, but I really like Bitcoin. And I think that kind of set a precedent for a lot of financial experimentation. And frankly, I think a lot of it's really good. But there's a dark side to this, which is that, especially with smart contracts, but also with chains, you can spin up ever more complex and sometimes deceptive, sometimes super, super useful. Like, I'll give you an example of something super, super useful. Osmosis and Uniswap are super, super useful. And then something that might be like kind of deceptive is that Fortis Economa thing that launched on Juno, which I actually thought was very creative. I tweeted to the author once. Mm-hmm.
I just like, I remember like claiming that thing and trying to understand what was happening and like what the various things were. And it was like, it just felt like it was deliberately confusing. And I don't know. I mean, like, I enjoyed it almost as sort of like a piece of art. It was like, it did not make any sense to me.
I don't know. But that's all I have to say about like Fortis Economia. Like, what was that? But anyway, go on. What were you saying?
Well, no, I mean, you're right to question what it was, right? And this day. I don't know, a gamified Dex, a casino. I mean, it's certainly not a place where like users would be treated well, right?
Yeah, they called it the dungeon, and, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, it was really a bizarre thing. And as we all know, there have been many others. Or like what occurred with Celsius, where like, wait, I thought that was a permissionless crypto product. How did everybody's coins end up on FTX? Can you guys tell me some more about that, right?
Right. But, I mean, all of that is just chasing like, yield. Mm-hmm. All of that is just everyone's chasing yield, right?
Exactly.
And again, like, this ties back into, like, I think that, like, an industry of people all chasing yield is, like, a fundamentally rotten situation. Because the yield, where is the yield coming from? It's coming from other investors, unless there's users who aren't chasing yield, who are chasing a product. And like, that's fun for everyone when what you're doing is trying to convince private equity to come in and buy your bags, right? And then it's fun for everyone but private equity, and nobody cares about private equity. Like, no one feels bad if they get wrecked. So like, everyone's like, that's fine. But then like, you know, it's never only them, right? And then you start seeing retail people getting wrecked, and it's really painful. And I think it's just like, it's a necessary outcome of trying to like continue to conjure yield out of nothing.
Yeah, it is. And especially as you move further away from the base asset, right? Like, Bitcoin doesn't have yield. Yeah, and then really the only way to get it is to mine or to lend it, and friends don't lend your Bitcoin. Point being, though, like, we've entered a place where actually the technology has gotten pretty sophisticated. You can build all kinds of neat financial products. That's nice. But what's sort of the next step? And so Mike and I have been talking, might even be for a year now, right? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I've confused my Bluetooth headphones. But yeah, we've been talking for a long time about just Cosmos in general.
I mean, I believe the original thing, I think the first time we spoke was around the time Osmosis launched. And you were like, well, okay, you're validating. Would you be interested in validating a chain for dollars? And believe you me, of course, I initially thought like some sort of synthetic stable coin or what have you. And you're like, no, just dollars. And I don't know if you still frequently get the sort of surprised reaction that I had, but
yeah.
Yeah, you do?
People are surprised. But what I was surprised by was that basically none of the validators that I pitched this to disliked it. They all said, oh yeah, I would love to be paid in dollars. None of them was like, oh no, I only believe in crypto. I don't want to touch dollars. I don't want to be doxxed to my financial institution, et cetera, which I kind of expected. They were all just like, oh sweet, yeah, I love a dollar, like, you know, revenue stream.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great thing for a validator. And then I also think it makes a really interesting business. Because, you know, if you're not comfortable sharing at this time, don't, but I might suggest you might want to speak a little bit about the integrations. No, you told me this initially. I was like, oh boy, you know? And I do think that is really the most incredibly compelling part.
Sorry, what part is the most compelling?
Oh, the integration?
Yeah, the integration.
So the integrations? Yeah.
So this sort of goes back to what I was saying about like regular people use mobile phones and they don't like read transaction like metadata, right? Regular people use credit cards. Regular people have come to use OAuth, right? They have these tools which we've built. The way, like, these are integration tools that pull our economy together, right? A credit card is an integration tool between a vendor and a bank that lets you buy a thing from a vendor, you know, by sort of involving your bank in this
It's super cool. I think that's really cool. So, you know, similarly, like OAuth, it's like you want to log in with Google, right? That's really cool. You can just like log in with Google, and you don't need to create a new account. You need to remember a new password, all this stuff. This is like what glues the web together, right? And this is the Cosmos vision of IBC, which is we need to glue these chains together. But like we can't just like teleport to the end state. And the tools that people use right now are credit cards and are these like Web 2 OAuth situations, and we need to connect to them. And so, you know, Pylons has been built to be able to accept these sort of like signed transactions from Web 2 entities in order to process its transactions. So you can buy something directly with a credit card on Pylons, and Pylons will accept the receipt. Right. We are working on, you know, at user sign up, being able to limit user sign up to users who can submit a signature from like Google or Apple that they are a real user on a phone with a real account in order to create a Pylons account, which is like very not what you would expect out of a Web3 company. But, you know, my attitude is like, let's go where they are, which is like using these Web2 tools. And get them one step, right? And that one step is you bought a digital item on a blockchain, right? And we're not trying to be like, here's this whole new world. It's like, here's this thing you can add to your world. You can buy digital art, but you don't have to like change everything else. You can still use a credit card. You can still be protected by, you know, the anti-spam systems of Google and Apple. And yet you can have this digital item that like no one can take away from you without like, you know, doing some Juno level thing where like 80 validators have to collude against you specifically, which is like basically not going to happen unless you're, you know, extremely important.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of glue, I mean, where, so we have IBC, right? And how is Pylons going to use that?
Yeah, so Pylons is going to use IBC primarily right now by allowing people who do want to pay with cryptocurrencies to bring those cryptocurrencies into Pylons and engage in you know transactions on Pylons with those cryptocurrencies. That's sort of our first layer of IBC, right? And then we're looking for our next layer of IBC and you know, Jacob, you know, as you know, like that is something that like you're working on, which is this idea of, you know, this IBC item protocol, which we call, for some reason, we call CW21 instead of IBC items. But, you know, we're working on that. And the idea would be to move items between Pylons and Stargaze and OmniFlix, which are sort of like the action and Iris, which are the chains that are that seem to be actively interested in implementing this, and then being able to.
Yeah, IBC items is such a good name. I just wanted to say that, and it was Iris that actually wrote the IBC items is really really clear. Talks exactly about what it does. CW721, it only appeals to programmers.
It's totally insane. It like makes us look like we're subordinate to Ethereum. It uses like an abbreviation about the programming language it's written in. It's just like, it's just not great.
Yeah. Yeah. It is really, I want to give a little credit to Iris here. They have worked on both the Cosmos SDK side and the IBC Go side now. of like how NFTs can move over IBC. And then I suppose some credit to Cosmwasm as well, because you can define almost anything in Cosmwasm. That's probably the single most advanced IBC application. So, all right, now we have IBC items and people can come and purchase them with a credit card. And like, what's the interface? Like, do I show up in my browser, install Kepler?
No, they show up on your phone, right? Like, they show up on your phone. That's because you're a normal human being and you've never installed a browser extension. You potentially don't even know what a web browser is, and you don't understand that it's different from your computer. And the process of installing an extension would be like a terrifying, you know, minefield. And so, you know, you just have an app on your phone, and that's where your items are. And ideally, what chain wants to interact with your item is not really that important, right? It, you know, there's some sort of like, do you want to do this thing? Do you want to like subject your item to this action by this entity or that entity? Sure. But like, how does that work in terms of like where in the cosmos does this occur? Not interesting, right? Like IBC should be abstracted away from the user experience because it's cool to us, but it's not like interesting to like regular humans.
Yeah, very true. So initially, what is this, a mobile phone-based art gallery that you use? Hey, we have a request. Please do come on up, Idis. There, Idis, I am actually going to kind of hand off to you so that you can ask anything you'd like to, man.
Sorry, I muted you by accident. Trying to approve. Go ahead and unmute again.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't want to cut off your really interesting conversation. I just had like a question. Like, could we use pylons to like interface with, let's say, secret network and still preserve like NFT private metadata? Is that possible?
Yes, kind of, sort of. I mean, pylons is not an anonymous network. You know, Secret has done this thing where basically they've wrapped a consensus engine around a secure execution enclave, which I respect because it is, I think, basically exactly as weird and almost in the same spirit as what I've done, which is wrap a consensus engine around a credit card processing receipt. So, you know, I appreciate it. You know, it isn't something that like we can really do. I think that like trying to do that in a traditional way would be very slow. And so, you know, we are not trying to obfuscate. We're not running the kind of cryptography that is necessary to like obfuscate anything. Because what we're trying to do is do really simple stuff really fast. Now, that said, you can connect via IBC to Secret and do some stuff. So you could like, you know, have a pointer in pylons to something in Secret, which, you know, you wouldn't be able to know what it was. Nobody would be able to know what it was. And we would just sort of trust Secret's validator set to tell us what it does or what happens if we send it an RPC request. So that's all technical details, right? But then what I'm going to ask you then is to sort of like take a step back and tell me like, why do you want this? Like, what's your use case? Like as a user trying to do a thing on a mobile phone, like what thing are you trying to do?
Yeah, sure. Let's say I want to use pylons and basically use my credit card to buy something on Secret Network, a specific NFT that has, you know, private metadata.
Yeah. So do you want to use, now basically you're saying, if I can translate, and this is something that like Sunny of Osmosis has sort of said to me a bunch of times, which is like, okay, well, you've built this credit card processing framework. Can I just use it as an IBC payment gateway?
Exactly.
And so the answer is maybe, because anybody who wants to do that needs to set up an account on Stripe, tell Stripe what they're trying to sell. And then, you know, and then get approved and like do this thing, right? Because we don't KYC individual sellers. Like we're running a Stripe Connect platform, and individual sellers have to KYC with Stripe and convince Stripe that what they're doing is legit. So you could do that, and you could, you know, have a contract that mints like vouchers and move the voucher over to Secret Network and redeem it for some kind of secret NFT. That definitely would work technically, you know, whether Stripe would be okay with you doing that and sort of selling those items using Stripe's payment rails is sort of like hopefully up to you and Stripe, and we can keep ourselves out of it. But, you know, that's sort of a delicate situation, is like, to what extent do we have to police our own user base and make sure that Stripe is not sort of like constantly having to kick people off the network for doing things they don't want and then get tired of us and kick us off the network, right? So it's complicated. Like, we aren't like, you know, we're really here trying to bring digital property to regular people, right? We're not really here trying to bring like fiat payment rails to like dark web stuff. That's not what we're here to do. Like, we're here to do like sort of the other side of that equation, right? Here's your mom, and you took a picture of your kid, and your mom pays you $10 for it because, you know, she loves you and she loves her grandkid. And like, that's the interaction, and no one involved is interested in like faking what the item is or, you know, faking how much was spent or anything like that. Cause it's like, you know, wholesome memes all the time. A lot of clapping from Idis, which I appreciate.
Thank you.
I need like a bow meme. Is there a bow meme? I'm a theater kid, so like I always want to take a bow when people clap, but like, I'm not allowed. By the way, just as like a process thing, like trying to run this by having like Pylon's account be the host and then my account be the speaker is like super annoying, because I can't actually get the Pylon's account iPad to shut up, and so like I can't go near it because it'll cause feedback. So like I don't know, I'll probably like next time I do this, I'll just like be the Pylon's account instead of myself. I don't know.
That is typically the best practice. We've had similar issues when we've done these for the Osmosis Ministry of Marketing. Twitter Spaces is actually really nice because it has a very extensive reach. Probably the biggest disadvantages are that you can only use a mobile phone. When the host leaves the call just drops. And yes, of course, the exact item that you described, where you want to be using a branded account, but you'd also like to know who is speaking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, any other questions? And this is my first Twitter space. I will say that, you know, one of the things I would like to do is get people to claim the free item that is currently claimable in the Pylons app. So, you know, if one of you hasn't claimed it, you should definitely go do that, because it's free, and it might turn out to be interesting in terms of like mainnet incentive rewards to if you've claimed it. And yeah, I want to sort of like get the app into people's hands and get feedback and, you know, grow the installed base so that we know what we're doing. So that's sort of like, it's just really like exciting for me to be in this part of the process. You know, I've been working on this for like 3 years, I guess, at varying levels of intensity. And I'm finally in a place where I'm like, hey, everyone, come and use my thing. And it's pretty awesome. Yeah, to be doing that. I don't know. So it's fun. Please use my thing.
Is there anything else that you want to discuss, like before we hop off or anything? Because I believe that the soup restaurant would like my call to end. But I could just take a walk down the street a little bit.
Oh, I mean, I was going to like try to go for an hour just because like it seemed like a nice round number. So I guess that's still another 20 minutes of just like trying to convince people to stay on a call where we've run out of things to say. No, we haven't. We haven't run out of things to say.
I don't think we have run out of things to say, actually.
So I'll ask a question, which is just like, okay, so right now what we're doing is these art drops, right? Which basically is like, you can claim an art piece and you can pretend to pay for it with a credit card, which is really cool, especially if you understand what's going on in the background that lets you pretend to pay for it with a credit card because it's actually using real credit card processing rails. But like, okay, what's the next cool thing, right? Do we want to like incentivize people like selling art to their friends? Do we want to like try to post a video piece or a music piece? Like what makes sense? Like what do we do that sort of goes beyond like, here's a claimable piece of art that would excite people?
Yeah, what do you think that might be?
I mean, I don't know. I had two ideas there. Those are, you know, things I could try. I think people haven't really like, I think video NFTs people are used to because of GIFs. And like uploading GIFs to OpenSea, right? Like, you know, the metadata points to some animation. So people are used to NFTs that are animation loops, but like people are not really used to NFTs that have audio. I guess there's like a little bit of that in Stargaze. I think like, what's that, like Jupiter one or something? There's one that that I think has audio loops connected, but I think maybe doing like a music NFT or an audio NFT that like plays cleanly in the app would be like something that people think is cool. I don't know. People, do you think that's cool?
I mean, I do. Like having an audio player or a video player or something, you know, that would be very neat. I think that you might want to talk a little bit more about the app, which is, you know, and guys, obviously I'm working on pylons. But I'm working on the chain, and I'm not really a very visual person. The app.
Yeah. The Pylons app is really trying to be a different way to ask people to think about digital items. Really like trying to abstract away the technology and make it about the item itself, about the ownership experience. And so it's really trying to just be super, super easy to give you just the experience you want to have about the thing that you're doing. So what does that mean? Like from the perspective of art, it's like, okay, I bought my art. It's in my art collection. Right. And it doesn't tell you, you create a wallet, but like, you know, it doesn't really push you to like see or write down your recovery phrase. Now, maybe it will, once you buy something, like, hey, by the way, do you want to write down your recovery phrase? There's this thing called a recovery phrase, but like, that's not the primary thing, right? Because it's not trying to like make you a cryptography person. It's just trying to give you like access to your stuff in a way that feels like nice. So, you know, for a video item, it would be the same way. For an audio item, it would be the same way. You would buy the thing and then it would show up in your wallet and you would tap on it and it would play. And like, that would be that. Right. And it would just be like, it's really just like, here's a mobile app. It gives you access to your digital stuff. It lets you buy and sell and, you know, like, and hopefully soon comment on your digital stuff. And it isn't like trying to like put the technical aspects of what you're doing in front of you, right? It says like, do you want to like do this thing? Do you want to buy this thing? Not like, do you want to sign this transaction, which spends a maximum of this amount of currency and executes a contract with this hash, right? Like, it's not going to say that. It's just going to say like, do you want to buy this picture? It costs $5. So I don't know. That's the Pylons app. And, you know, we put a bunch of time into sort of like styling it to look, you know, different from apps usually look in like a stylistic way, but still like function, like apps function, and really sort of, we're trying to set it apart and be like, hey, like this is how you should deal with digital items. This is the right way to think about and interact about digital items. And then the Pylons app is like the center of the world from that perspective. And, you know, the Minter that we made that creates these digital items is an open source project. And it uses this SDK we built. So anybody can create an app that makes digital property using the Pylons app. Just like we did that makes the digital art and makes the digital music. If you wanted to make an app for like your own kind of digital art that had like different parameters or different behavior, you could just do that. And we have an SDK that you can use, and we actually use the SDK ourselves, right? We don't have special access to the chain or special access to the wallet that other apps don't have. And so you can like make this, you can make something cool and make your own kind of property. And it all sort of like fits together in the Pylons app for the user so that things don't become overwhelming, because I think crypto is overwhelming and we want digital property to be simple. So like that's the pitch for the Pylons app.
Have you thought about, you know, cause digital property can mean lots of things. As you probably know, I'm actually really interested in NFTs that are tied to physical things. You know, we did DigChain. Actually, had a call. DigChain was super, super interesting. But let us stay focused. Have you thought about stuff like that? For example, you know, title for a house or other types of, what would you call it, even? An ownership token for physical things?
So, you know, I think my personal opinion is that distributed ledgers are really interesting and useful for tracking things that don't exist. And among the most important things that doesn't exist is money. And so it's good for tracking money, right? And like another thing that doesn't exist is art. And so it's good for tracking art, right? Games don't exist, right? Like permission to enter a venue doesn't exist. Houses exist. And I think that's hard on blockchain because in the end, the source of truth for who owns a piece of real estate is, you know, 500 dudes with guns, and they decide. And you know what it says on a distributed ledger.
Oh my god, we have hit up against that so many times.
yeah so like what it says on the distributed ledger is only interesting to the extent that the men with guns are interested in what it says and think it's useful for their purposes. And so like I mean real estate is called real estate, right? Like, and it's real, right? It's in the name. It's like the most real thing is like the planet. And so it's the hardest thing to put on chain. And I think like what I would want to do is let's hear from IDIS, because I think that like fashion is this liminal space between things that exist and things that don't exist. And so it's like, you know, because like the clothing exists, but the social status associated with it doesn't exist, right? But they're the same thing, kind of. So I don't know, Idis, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not here to show my project. I came here for the conversation. Yeah, so like, touching on Jacob's point, like you can tie physical and digital objects together. For example, what we're doing is we're using RFID tags and, like we tie in the RFID's UUID into the NFT's metadata, and we do the opposite with the RFID.
And like, you know, yeah. I guess I like what is like, what do you, how do you want people to interact with that? Like, you know, how do you want people to think about what they own and what is it? Like, what is it that they own, right? Is it the shirt? Is it the the digital representation, how does the interplay of those things, like, how do you think about that in terms of like the way you want people to experience it and conceptualize it?
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, I think in the future, hopefully soon, like, your brand shouldn't be connected to a blockchain per se. Like, Prada isn't AWS Prada, right? So like, you're not buying Prada because it's on AWS. So I think the same thing should apply to like future Web3 brands as well. When you create an NFT project, it shouldn't be Omniflix kittens or Osmosis dragons. It should just be dragons or kittens. And to touch up on what you're asking, yeah, I think we should like reinvent the way we're thinking about things. Obviously, we're advancing towards more like AR and XR type of content in the next decade. So maybe both digital and physical. Like for our use case, we're trying to like position ourselves as like doing both, like the whole term of digital, like both physical and digital. And that's where the whole tagging part comes in. Like you have to make it as easy as possible for people, because a lot of people are not very techno savvy. So you just want to have your phone scan the tag and you see your ownership, see your wallet address or whatever. Now, you know what we could do for pylons? We could do a separate clothing line and see how that goes. Maybe like a limited run of like 100 shirts or something. Attach like pylons branded tags or something and see how people are. I mean, even our own brand, we're just experimenting. Like we don't really know what's going to happen. Like this is all so new.
Yeah. You know, we talked earlier and I was really interested in, you know, cause I've always sort of wanted to have a product for, concerts, right? Like you're a rock star. Imagine that you are a rock star because you are, and you are playing a show and you want to like give out t-shirts to people, right? You want to like throw t-shirts into the crowd, into your adoring fans, and some lucky fan will receive your t-shirt. But like inevitably the lucky fan who receives your t-shirt is like 6'5" and 110 pounds. And he gets an XXL t-shirt and he gives it to his girlfriend and she's like, what is this? Right. And it's just like, not that it's not an amazing experience because, you know, the product is sort of randomly selected and then the receiver is actually not randomly selected because like tall people exist. And so it's suboptimal. But like, you know, with pylons, if you have your ticketing system on pylons and people are redeeming their tickets or signing, not redeeming, but like, you know, there's a transaction you do on your ticket when you walk in the door, right? You get a challenge from the scanner when you walk in. It says like sign this, you know, add this comment to your item, right? Like add this metadata to your ticket so that we know that you're really the owner and you publish a transaction to the blockchain where you say like, you know, I've received challenge XZ2535Q, and then you publish that and then the scanner's like, yep, that's you then, and they let you in, right? And so you then know which tickets have actually entered the venue. You can do an airdrop of a clothing voucher to the group of tickets, like a randomly select from the group of tickets that actually showed up. Here's a t-shirt. And then that is just a voucher. And you can take that voucher and you can go to the fashion app and you can say, hey, I got a voucher for a ticket and I would like this style of shirt in this size, right? And then, and here's my voucher number. And then that voucher number can be like embedded in the shirt and you get the shirt. And someone who scans the shirt can be like, oh, you were at this show and you won this t-shirt from the virtual t-shirt cannon, right? And that's how I sort of think about like making the physical and the virtual like play together, right? Where here's this thing where like you have an object, but it contains a real history, like a real meaningful history of how it came to be and why and who owned it and how it tells a story. And the story it tells is the real story of like things actual people went and did. Because I really believe that like actual human experience is the only thing that can fundamentally give value to digital items in the end. Like, you know, it's like right now we have Bored Apes and they're super, super expensive. And we have CryptoPunks and they're super, super expensive. But like, to me, that's not what's most exciting, because what's most exciting to me would be like, well, what if I'm really into Dota and here's the skin that like my favorite player was wearing when they made the play that won the championships. And I know it's that skin. And if I buy it from them and I play a game of Dota, people can look at the skin and be like, whoa, that's the skin, right? Like, it's that kind of thing where, you know, by having the item exist in a real moment that people know about, it gets imbued with meaning. And because meaning only comes from us. Meaning comes from us and what we care about and what we do. There's like not another source of meaning. You know, I mean, other people, you know, religious people obviously will take exception to that. But like, practically speaking, there's not another source of meaning. It's only us and what we do and what we care about. And so, you know, digital items and pylons is like a way to try to like imbue that meaning into items through history, through like tracking the history and embedding it in the thing. So that's sort of what I think about when I think about like how pylons and fashion can work together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's provenance, right? Like tracking the item, seeing how it's made, where it was made. Another thing that I really thought of is if a user can share his location with the Pylons app, you could even do like geolocalized airdropping. So for example, let's say you have 10,000 Pylons users at Kiss concert, and let's say you're generous that day. Okay, let's drop 10,000 people at this concert, 10,000 tokens, NFT token shirts that you can claim with your sizing. I mean, like the possibilities are like really incredible out there. Even like loot boxes, I thought of that myself. You could do like geo loot boxes. Let's say you know, you sell like a loot box at Times Square, you tweet it, and the first person to reach that location with the Pylons app, they get a t-shirt or something. So I mean, you know, yeah, utilities out there.
I think that would be really fun. Like sort of like the digital scavenger hunt would be super, exactly. Super fun.
In terms of brand building and brand engagement, it's like a gold mine, especially now that like AR is slowly creeping its way into everyday lives. And, you know, hopefully we get like Apple AR glasses. You know, there's a lot that can be made.
I love the idea of like NFT based AR fashion where like, you know, as a viewer, you have like a set of brands you care about. And then anyone who's like wearing, you know, effects from that brand, it like displays in your glasses when you see them. So like they're like, you know, trailing rainbows or whatever. I think that's really fun.
Yeah, and I think it's going to happen. So it's not if, it's when.
Cool. All right. Well, if we were to say that we want to do this space for an hour, which I think makes sense for space number one, that gives us a few minutes left. So, you know, we've had a few people hanging out for more or less the whole call, and I'd love to hear, you know, if they have questions or comments. Ooh, Sky Monks showed up. Hey, Sky Monks. I got a couple of the Sky Monks. They're cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we'll wind the space down. Thank you all for showing up at the at my maiden voyage into hosting a Twitter space. I appreciate your attention and support. If you haven't claimed the Lavender Lake NFT on the Pylons app, please go claim it. Please, you know, tell your friends to claim it. You know, I think it's gonna. I think that, you know, the faster it sells out, the better it looks for us, right? We're like getting close to halfway through after a day or so. which I think is really good. And I just sort of want to power through and, you know, and crush that piece and get to building the really cool next level, next steps of digital property. Yeah. Jacob, any last comments?
I think he left.
He showed back up as Notional, but I guess he left again. All right, cool. Yeah, well, thanks everyone, and see you next time.
Bye, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Pylon's Hangout, recorded on Wednesday, June 15th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support.
They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every 1,000 plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody want to rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, these sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around three quarters of a cent to listen to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. They're making pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw, shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointed too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music.
Imagine a world in which an old dying man's last dying wish is fulfilled.
Alexa? Can you play that one C-Fi space where he clowned all the SafeMoon and XRP bag holders and then told everyone to buy Luna because it was going to 1,000?
I'm confused why we're not talking about the fact that you can easily, like, 300x your money on XRP. Like,
you know, son, I remember a time. Alexa, enough. I'm trying to reminisce now. I remember a time before Terra Spaces existed when things that were said on random Twitter spaces would just get lost to the proverbial black hole of time.
That's the best bet.
Why isn't Luna in wind turbines?
Hey, guys.
I'm reading all about these wind
guys,
turbines.
Guys, do you mind if I explain Cardano a little bit? Because I've been in Cardano since like 2018 and I can give you a full breakdown.
Just when you thought it was safe to shill shitcoins.
Oh my god, you guys. I don't know what to do. So much blood. It's so red.
From the creators of Your Exit Liquidity, in association with We All Love to Hear Ourselves Talk, Inc. For more information, go to terraspaces.org/donate. TerraSpaces.